Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of this morning's sermon, If the Dead Could Speak, based on our gospel reading just read to you, especially verse 31, which says, He said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. I encourage you this morning to follow your sermon outline that's provided for you on your half-sheet insert. Follow that sermon outline as we consider our theme, If the Dead Could Speak. I would imagine that many of you here this morning have attended a funeral. There is nothing like a funeral to make us stop. To make us stop and consider what is really important and lasting in life. As a pastor, I have conducted far more funerals than I've ever just attended. Is there a particular funeral that sticks in your mind? I've often wondered, even as I was conducting a funeral, what would this person tell us if they could speak? What would we hear if the dead could speak? What would their voice tell us? Would it make any difference? Would we listen? Again, today's sermon is entitled, If the Dead Could Speak, based on Luke chapter 16. And here we find a parable told by Jesus. A parable is defined in this way, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. A story that tells us an important truth. Jesus' parable here, and note your sermon outline, Jesus' parable can be considered a drama in three acts. Act number one, a study in contrasts. Contrasting the rich man with the poor man Lazarus. Verse 19 says this, There was a rich man clothed in purple and fine linen who feasted sumptuously every day. Why is purple mentioned? Anyone who had purple clothing at the time of Christ was considered awfully wealthy. This purple came from an expensive dye. This dye was only available when costly, expensive, precious sea creatures were processed from which to get the purple dye. And this purple-clothed man is described this way. He feasted sumptuously every day. It means every day, oink, oink, oink. He pigged out. He'd never observed holy days. He dared not fast or give a portion of his food money to feed the poor and hungry of his town. Now, in contrast, we're introduced to a poor man whose name was Lazarus. Listen to verses 20 and 21. And at the rich man's gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. This poor beggar was probably covered with the sores of leprosy. And his name seems a contradiction in reality. His name in Hebrew, Lazarus, means God is my helper. He was every day laid at the rich man's door with the hope of a handout. He was so weak that he couldn't even fight the dogs off who were licking his sores. Verse 22 says, The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. Both men died. What about their funerals? Well, the text doesn't say, but the custom of the day would have been this. The rich man would have had an elaborate service filled with praises and glory for all his earthly possessions and successes. And then he would have been placed in a magnificent, elaborate tomb for the wealthy. The poor man Well, his dead body simply would have been thrown into the garbage dump on the outside of the city walls. The curtain drops. Act 1 is finished. Both men are dead. Act 2, notice your outline, could be entitled Justice at Last. Verse 23 says, "And in Hades, the rich man, being in torment, lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side." The rich man is in hell. The poor man is in heaven. The rich man is in torment, but the text says he's able to see Lazarus at Abraham's side. The literal phrase in the language of the Bible is, he is in the bosom of Abraham. This means the poor man was in heaven. And the rich man in hell, in this parable, could see it. The poor man was enjoying peace and comfort and happiness. Not so the rich man. He was in torment. What a contrast to their earthly lives. Now remember, the point of every one of Jesus' parables is to speak to us today. Jesus' parable of the rich man and Lazarus makes us ask this question. How ready am I for my own death? Note, the poor man had a name, Lazarus. Did you follow the text? What was the name of the rich man? He's not given a name. Why not? One reason may very well be, though he can represent any person today, so that we can identify ourselves with him, so that we ask this question, how do I see myself in him? This parable makes us ask these questions. What riches am I depending on today? What riches, possessions, status, or comforts am I depending on right now to give my life meaning and to give my life purpose? All such earthly riches fail when you die. Just ask the rich man. Act 3 of this parable should really shake us up. Listen to verses 24 and 25. "And the rich man called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water to cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in torment.' But even in hell, the rich man tries to give orders. 'I'm thirsty. Send Lazarus to bring me a drink.' And when this order isn't answered, he makes another request. He wants Abraham to make Lazarus go to his 5 brothers to warn them, so they don't end up in this place of torment. And Abraham says in verse 29, 'No, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.'" Translation: they can listen to the Bible preached and taught. All they need is there if they will just listen. But the rich man still wants to give orders. And in verse 30, he says, "No. But if someone goes to them from the dead, then they will listen." And Abraham's response ends this parable in verse 31. "If they don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone rises from the dead." Can you hear the message for our world today? How many people simply will not believe what God says about life and death and eternity? We have been given Moses and the prophets. That is a testimony of Scripture and the faithful witness of believers. Yet many simply will not believe. And indeed, Someone has risen from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord. And still, people will not believe. This shows us a picture of the hardness of the sinful human heart that raises its fist to heaven and says, "Don't you try to tell me anything." Yet in this parable, Jesus is telling all of us at least five important truths. Will you follow them on your sermon outline? Truth number one. They're listed under point two of your outline. Truth number one is this. We will all live forever. Death is not the end, and it's not our choice. Now, this can either be the basis of our eternal hope or the foundation of our deepest anxiety. The question of today's parable is this. Where will you spend eternity? Truth number two. There are two distinct realms of death. The Bible is clear. There is a heaven. There is a hell. Now, many people today have opinions or feelings about death and heaven and hell and eternity. Note your TV guide once in a while. There is just a proliferation of new shows about this very thing. There's a new show that just came on called The Good Place. If you're good, you go to the good place. If you're bad, you go to the bad place. So many opinions and feelings about heaven and hell and death. But many of these ideas are no more than ignorant, wishful thinking. I hope you prefer to rely on God's timeless and trustworthy word rather than the fleeting and changing opinions of human beings today. Truth number three, take a look. What we believe and what we do about it determines our eternal destiny. The rich man was not in hell because he was rich. The poor man was not in heaven because he was poor. Their eternities were determined by their spiritual conditions, where they put their trust. Remember, the name Lazarus means God is my helper, my Savior. You see, God has provided our helper, our Savior, so that we may go to heaven when we die. John 3, verse 16 proclaims this truth clearly. If you know it, please say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is your helper. He is your Savior. He gave his life for you on Calvary's cross to pay for your sins. He died and rose from death to defeat death once and for all, to open up for you the gates of heaven. And he calls you to trust in him and what he has done for you. But in the parable, back to the rich man. The rich man's attitude is seen today. I'll live my way. I'll do what I think best. I'll decide what's important in life. I'll decide for myself what's right and what's wrong. It's been said that the sign on the entryway to hell reads this way. Here, there is neither right nor wrong. Just whatever worked for you. Truth number four of our parable. Take a look. This tells us the saddest part of being in hell. The utter helplessness and hopelessness there. Jesus tells us in this parable that in hell there is not a loss of self-identity, not a loss of consciousness, not a loss of memory. The rich man had all eternity to consider his bad choices and his refusal of God's love. In hell, the saddest thing is this. There will be no escape from the eternal if only. If only I had trusted what God had said. There will be the eternal realization that God did so love the world. That God did send his son Jesus. That my sins were paid for. That victory over death and the devil was won. That I did not have to be here in torment. But in my life I said, no thanks, God. I'll do what I want to do and I'll live the way I want to live. Look at your outline, the fifth and final truth, the most important truth. There is only one authentic voice from the grave. Yes, the dead can speak. He who died and rose again has spoken. And that voice and that person is our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you recall that the rich man in hell said this, and I quote, if someone should just rise from the dead, then they'll believe? Well, Jesus has risen. He has risen indeed. And in Revelation chapter 1, 17 and 18, listen to what your risen Lord says. He said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I hold the keys to death and hell. Jesus is he who died and is risen. He has spoken from the empty grave, and he speaks forevermore. He has conquered death, and all who take refuge in him shall be saved. As is true almost every summer, this year also we've had in the interior of Canada many fires. I have a friend in the prairies who's a firefighter. He tells me that when firefighters see a fire coming toward them, they know they cannot outrun the fire. They know there's only one way to spare their lives and protect the property they're guarding. Do you know how they do it? They burn the area all around them. Then they take their stand in the burnt area. They see and they hear the flames coming, but they're safe because they're standing where the fire has already come and there's nothing left to burn. My friends, there was one place on earth where the fires of Almighty God's wrath against sin has already burned. There is one place on earth where the fires of sin and death and devil have done their worst. 2,000 years ago, on a cross, on a hill called Calvary, the fires of judgment and death burned fiercely. And Jesus, the Son of God, took upon himself all that these fires could give, and he rose victorious. And as we stand with him at his cross and empty grave, the fires can't touch us. We are safe and secure for all eternity. Jesus is arisen and alive forevermore. He who was dead has spoken. And today, he's calling to you. Hear his voice. Trust his voice. In the name of Jesus. Amen.